Winning now is the expectation. Make no mistake, this is the best team assembled by the Jacksonville Jaguars ever. Best players, best coaches. But most importantly, let's prove it by winning now. Shad Khan, owner of the 0-3 Jacksonville Jaguars, saying that a few months ago or a month ago or so. Welcome to episode 113 of Dimes on Duval, presented by Nerdy Nuts. What we thought, what could have been a perfect football weekend, or annex, adding Monday, was for naught, as the Jaguars laid an absolute stinker of an egg. As some of you will see, I'll probably use this picture on our social media for the episode. Mike's background right now is an inflatable clown that is a representation of the entire Jaguars organization.
So do you know what the clown is from?
This specific one?
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Trent Baalke got this clown figure from a fan a few years ago. So this stayed on his desk apparently too.
Well,
so I thought it was kind of appropriate, because let's just bring this back, because this entire team is a dumpster fire. It's a clown show. Hence the name of my recording, hashtag clown show. So, yeah, go ahead. I had to just interrupt you on that one.
No, you're good. I mean, hopefully it'll be in a cardboard box with the rest of his desk supplies in the next coming weeks here. But as usual, we'll go with our normal episode format. We're going to talk a little Gators, talk a little Noles, as both of those teams won. And then we'll end with the depression that is the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, did you catch either games this weekend, Mike, with Florida or Florida State?
Yes, so I did go visit my brother in Texas this weekend, and I did get a chance to watch both. The Gator game kind of like in the background, not as much, but I did watch a lot of the plays. Florida State game, I pretty much missed little to none of it. So I watched the whole game of Florida State. So whichever one you want to talk about first, we can go right into it.
Well, since Skyler is not going to be joining us tonight, we're going to go ahead and get the Gators out of the way first. 45-28, your final score, as honestly, from the first kickoff, Florida pretty much ran away with that game. They did try and let a little comeback happen, right? But not really. Not really. Mississippi State was so far out of it. They're not a good team. And Florida did what they're supposed to do against a lesser opponent and went out there and scored 45 points.
Yeah, I thought the running game for the Gators was very good. It was very balanced. Looking at the stat line, you had a 68-yard rusher in Montrell Johnson, 53 yards in Jaden Ball. You had 41 yards of Treyon Webb, 24-22 with the quarterbacks Mertz and Lagway, and then 18 with Jacoby Jackson. It was a very balanced effort on the ground game with multiple running backs and, I guess, quarterbacks. I thought it was interesting, though, Mississippi State also had a good running game as well with multiple players. So I thought it was just a running game, and it seemed like it was a slow game, but for some reason – maybe for some reason, I think it was a slow game, but I mean, it was fine. Florida should have won that game, and I did say they needed to win that game to have any chance. Now, if they lost to Mississippi State, Napier would be gone. But luckily for them, they did win, and now they go into a bye week. Maybe they can recuperate some things, get some injuries healed up, see how Mertz can do. Maybe they'll make a decision on Lagway or Mertz going against UCF in 2 weeks. So we will see how that goes. I truly do believe that Lagway should be the starter. I will say the same thing about Florida State coming up here soon. I think you got to start your young guys to see what you've got for the next year. Napier needs it to save his job. Like his seat is getting hotter and hotter from what I'm reading. So it's just a matter of if and when. It's not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when for Billy Napier.
Yeah, there's rumors every weekend about Napier getting fired at some point. And the seat just keeps getting hotter for him. I will say Florida, you know, had a dominant offensive performance. Their defense is still not up to par. Yeah. I mean, they only gave up 28 points because Mississippi State gave up 45. But they let up 480 yards of offense and 240 yards on the ground. The run defense isn't there. teams are going to, remember that and start exposing that. I mean, I have no dog in the fight for Mississippi State. They're not going to be good for the rest of the season, but this bye week is big for Florida. You've already mentioned that UCF is a formidable opponent on their October 5th game. I don't know. I think that could be a really good game. What do you think?
I think you see it. It's going to be a very interesting game. You got Gus Malzahn, who is a very different type of offensive play caller against Billy Napier and the way their offense has been going. The offense hasn't looked terrible the last 2 weeks, I would say. But the defense is a problem for me for Florida. So we'll see. I think it's going to be a very interesting game. And I believe KJ Jefferson is the quarterback for UCF. So that's going to be interesting. And I'm going to pull up his stats real quick from last year. And I'm pretty sure Arkansas played Florida last year, but I can't remember if they did or
I'm pretty
not.
sure they did. While you pull that up, this season he is 563 total yards, five TDs, and only one interception on the season, as they are 3-0 with wins over some crappy opponents. But they did beat TCU by one last week, which was a pretty big statement win for them. But traveling to Ben Hill Griffin Stadium is going to be quite the challenge, I think.
So I'm pulling it up. Arkansas did play Florida last year in the swamp, and Arkansas actually won. I think this is the game that Arkansas, yep, they won in overtime, 39-36. I'm pulling up his stats. Yeah, he went 20 of 31 for 255, two touchdowns and one INT. So he did have a good game and or okay game passing, but he had 17 rushes for 92 yards and a touch rushing touchdown. And Gus Malzahn does like to run his quarterbacks, so I do expect to see that in 2 weeks. But again, we can save that for next week's preview, the Gators,
Course.
because obviously they have a bye week this week, so I don't want to spend too much time on the Gators'
Of
future
course, of course.
opponent. But I thought they played okay against Mississippi State. They got the dub. Now it's about saving his job 1 week at a time.
Agreed, agreed. Let's switch gears. Let's go over to the Florida State Seminoles, who earned their first victory of the season. 14-9, your final, as they take down the Cal Golden Bears. The AI image king of the United States, maybe. I don't know. I personally found those hilarious.
California Twitter. I don't know anyone who roots for California, but man, those tweets
Woke
were
Campbell.
hilarious. Woke Campbell was great. I thought it was a great social media effort by the fans out there in California. So
And not a great performance, though, by those Golden Bears on the football field, as they played essentially to lose that game. They didn't do themselves any favors, no momentum at all. Florida State controlled their own destiny the entire game as they squeak out with a 14-9 victory. DJ Uiagalelei throws his first touchdown of the season, just woohoo. Yeah, slow clap.
I
Yeah.
hope the clap gets on the audio on that one.
I don't think it did.
Well, you see me doing a slow clap, so yeah.
Yeah, Ja'Kai Douglas with a 36-yard grab in the fourth quarter. I watched a lot of this at a restaurant, and then the end of the game I watched on my phone in the living
Oh,
room
I
with
watched the entire
colleagues and
game on my
family.
phone because I was out to dinner with my brother and his friends. We were celebrating his birthday, which, by the way, I gotta do it. Happy birthday, Kevin. We're recording today, so.
Hey, happy birthday, Kevin.
But yeah, we were watching the game and I was watching the game on my phone. I was getting very frustrated at multiple points during the game. And I don't know if you were as well,
Oh, yeah.
because the offense, we got very lucky that their kicker missed a few kicks. I will say that.
Oh, yes.
The offense for Cal really, they were going down the field, but they just could not finish the drives. And that kind of bit them in the ass in the end. But luckily, like for us, our team, like our defense, stepped up. They got a lot of sacks, 7 times. So that kind of stepped up for Florida State when they needed it, especially near the end. But the defense played great. They played fine. They held Cal to 9 points. Cal was averaging, I believe, yeah, 31 points, 21 points, and 31 points. So doing the math, what is that? 62 plus 21, 83 divided by. Anyway, it's about 20 something points a game. So,
Yeah, nerd.
held them down to 9 points. So, we got lucky. Like I said, their kicking game stunk, But I mean, they made three field goals, but I don't know. I thought it was fine by the defense. The offense for Florida State is a joke. Still is a joke.
Still is a joke.
Don't know what it is, but it is what it is. We're going to, I guess, stick with DJ Uiagalelei until next week, maybe against SMU, but we'll see.
So the way I look at it, actually, before I do that, yeah, I will. You talked about the defense getting sacks. You know, shout out to Patrick Payton actually having himself a game, three sacks on the night. So that was cool to see. But to me, the fact that DJU is still starting, and I've seen this on message boards and Twitter and whatnot, is the backups must not be doing anything exciting, you know, to really warrant Norvell to say, you know what? Brock Glenn is dominating in practice right now. I have to start him. I do you feel like that's the case, or are we over
So
speculating
from
with
what
that?
I'm seeing, from like beat reporters for Florida State, they're saying that DJ's playing better in practice than Brock Glenn, which I don't really care about how you play in practice. I want to see what it's going to look like when the live bullets are flying. What they always say, practice means nothing. Look at the Jaguars. We're about to talk about them for the last 20 minutes of this
I was gonna
episode.
say it. Yep.
Like Jaguars went undefeated in the preseason. The offense looked actually pretty decent. And it's been everything but in the regular season. So I'm not sure what it is. They've said that DJ looks good in practice. And today, actually, Brendan Sinone put an article out about the Knowles practice notes. They can talk about practice. They can't mention injuries, obviously. That's a Mike Norvell rule. But he mentioned that it was one of the better days we've seen from DJ Uiagalelei in the last few weeks. But also that Brock Glenn had a pretty deep shot and team drills to Deron Williamson. So Brocklin's doing okay, but he's not as consistent as DJ Uiagalelei is, from what I'm understanding. And so I don't know. They're just going with how they play in practice. And if that's the case, I don't know if we're going to see Brocklin. Personally, I think we should just see how he is. Maybe they're not safe. Maybe they're going to bring him back after maybe at home against Clemson, maybe after Clemson. They'll put in Brock Glenn because after Clemson next week, you got a bye week, then you got a little bit easier schedule going forward. So I don't know. I'm just curious. I don't know if that's why they're just sticking with who's playing better in practice, but
Yeah, I
personally, I
just
think they
thought I'd
should
bring
play
it up.
I would play the young guy personally.
I'm with you there. I'm with you there. We've already kind of deemed this season as moot anyway. Making a bowl game would be pretty awesome at this point instead of, you know, preseason aspirations that we had. I do want to give props to Lawrence Toafili. He had his best game of the season. Probably the most, well, he definitely had the most carries of the season, but he had 80 yards rushing, almost 100, and a touchdown. So I'm gonna give him some flowers for that, as
So
we talked about the O-line being so bad.
Toafili has been the best running back on this team, simply put. And I don't know if it's because he spent so much time in the system, but he looks damn good compared to Roy Dell Williams, the transfer they got from Alabama, compared to Cam Davis, who's a true freshman, which is fine. But I think they should continue to give it to Toafili. But again, I'm not a coach. I don't get paid the big bucks, but we'll see
He's the only
going
running
forward.
back that has over 147 or 100 yards rushing on the season. He has two touchdowns. Cam Davis has 16 for 49. Roy Dell Williams has 20 for 54. He has a couple touchdowns
Oh, you're
himself.
talking 100 yards over the year. Oh, wow. I didn't realize you said for the whole year. That's pretty
Yeah, for the
bad.
whole year. Yeah. Oh, remember they talked about it, not this game, but last
Yeah.
game
Yeah.
combined. None of them were over 100. So SMU up next, ACC Network, 8 p.m. kick. Any chance we beat SMU?
No.
Can you believe when we were talking preseason, talking about we'll have like one loss, you know, the toughest game could be maybe. I mean, SMU was a dark horse for the playoff. I don't think that's a part of their aspirations now. They are 3-1. Their loss was to BYU, a good team, but they've only played. Oh man, they put up 66 on TCU. Houston Christian and Nevada. So two not very good teams. But hanging 66 on TCU shows a sign of a high-powered offense. But they also let up 42 points. So whether that was defensive fatigue or what, Giving up 42 points in a game is never a good thing. So this
Yeah,
will be
no, I
their
don't.
first conference game too. So
Yeah, I don't see a chance Florida State stays in this game. I think SMU rolls, and I don't see it happen. I don't see Florida State keeping it close. It opened up at 4.5. It is now a 6-point spread. I'm sorry. It opened up actually. Yeah, originally it was preseason. SMU were 8-point dogs, by the way. 8-point dogs. It is now a 6-point favorite. SMU's a 6-point favorite. Like, what are we doing? That's a huge shift. So it opened up like this week. I noticed it this more Sunday more. I'm sorry, Monday morning. It was 4.5. It is 6.5 now. So, or 5.5 now. So yeah, it's been nonstop line movement, and I don't see Florida State really keeping it close personally.
No, I say the only way, and I don't think this is going to happen, folks, but I think the only way Florida State is able to be in this game is if somehow SMU is looking ahead to Louisville the next week, because it's going to be a big road game for them. Maybe they look ahead, but I doubt it.
I
So,
don't see that because I think a night game in Dallas is going to be a little different
exactly.
atmosphere.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. Keep your eyes peeled for Rashard Smith, their running back. He's been pretty good this season, averaging 7.2 yards per carry. Already has 6 touchdowns. Our run defense is not as bad as the Jags, but still not good. So just want to keep that on tabs. But let's go ahead and get into those disgusting Jacksonville Jaguars. Oh, that quote I gave you again was from Shad Khan before the season. 47 points given up, the most points in one half or in a first half that we've ever given up. The third most points given up in a half, period. Offense, I've been sitting here all day and people have been talking to me because they know I have a podcast and they're like, oh, yo, the game was terrible, yada, yada, yada. And the one thing I kept saying was, I can't think of a single positive from this game.
There is no positive. There
Like,
absolutely no positive.
there's no way to spin anything. We're past the point of trying to say, oh, well, moral victories, whatever. There's none of that. Josh Allen made the defense look like Swiss cheese. The defensive line got, I think, one QB touch, a QB hit, and that's it the entire game. Granted, we were being held, but we're not going to get into that yet. Trevor Lawrence couldn't find a rhythm. And when he finally got some rhythm, which were the quick passes, which we know he's really good at, he throws the awful, awful interception to DeMar Hamlin. Running game was offensive line was putrid, were hurt. Man-to-man coverage does not work when you don't have personnel, and we stuck with man-to-man coverage for whatever damn reason and had a practice squad guy getting abused out there. Laying on me, bro.
That was one of the worst losses I've ever seen from this team, from this organization. And we've seen a lot of losses. I felt that after it got down 13-0, I knew we were not going to come back. They drove down the field so quickly each time. The first drive, it was only 5 minutes. They went 70 yards. Sure, it was a little longer, but I mean, the first play was a 20-yard run or 20-yard pass. I'm like, okay, here we go. We're in for a long one. Then the Jags went 3-0. Then the Bills scored. Like, what are we
Donovan
doing?
pays 65 yards. Yep.
Like, this team stinks. There's not one good thing about this team. Quarterback, he's looking very bad right now. I don't know if it's because of decision making, play calling, just the talent around him, the offensive line, he's scared, don't know. The offensive line is one of the worst offensive lines I've ever seen. The play calling is abysmal. Did you see the fourth down on the fourth and goal? All they did was run a Hail Mary, and within a second, Trevor Lawrence gets sacked because Walker Little is the right tackle because
Is
Canton
that the drive where
Harrison
Walker
and
Little false started twice?
yeah, that I think that's the drive. Yeah, so yeah, so That's the offense. Running back, I think Etienne's looking the best, and he's okay, looking okay. He's not looking
Yeah, he
terrible.
had
It's
like
just like it's
70
just
yards or whatever. Sure.
garbage time, whatever.
Yeah.
Defense absolutely got torn to shreds. I don't know
And
what
picked up.
Nielsen is looking like an awful defensive coordinator because everyone's saying, and honestly, I was probably one of those people like, okay, defense isn't looking too bad, averaging 18 points allowed per game. Because if you think 20 and 16, because they didn't allow 18 last week, it was just 16 because of the safety. Bro, those two offenses were not good that they played. Miami looks like they're lost. Granted, they did have Tua, but they just looked lost first
Yeah.
week. Second week, Cleveland then gets destroyed by New York Giants this past week. And then this week, you run into an actual team, an actual quarterback. And Josh Allen just made you look like you were a JV squad. In high school, he did everything he wanted. The rotation, why were Jeremiah Ledbetter and Lacy starting at D tackle? Why? You have so much money tied into the D line, yet you have second year guy and a third year guy as you're starting D tackles, and you have Yasir Abdullah starting linebacker. What are we doing here? Play your studs and move forward. Josh Hines Allen. There was multiple times during the game, like, where's Josh Hines? Where's Hines Allen? Where is he? Not there. Trayvon Walker. Yes, he was held, but man, why are you backing up into the guard or the tackle, whatever? Your back is against their face. That makes no sense to me. Just bull rush him. Corners. We're depleted at corner. Clearly, we lost Tyson Campbell. We lost Jerrion Jones in the game today, last night.
Haven't seen an
What
update
do
from him yet, but yeah.
What are we? We have no talent outside those two, it looks like. Darby, what the hell? Where have you been? We're nothing. Antonio Johnson stinks. Devin Lloyd stinks.
Christian Braswell's a practice squad guy.
And he's never played in a real game. So, like, he's going to get beat. And he's going to get beat by these speed guys. Keon Coleman. You got Khalil Shakir. You got James Cook coming out of the backfield. And
Valdez Scantling.
I went to players' locker room yesterday to watch the game with some of my cousin and some of our friends. I left before halftime. I could not deal with it anymore. I gave him cash
I
for
would
my
have
food.
come. I'm just
Say
kidding. I
it again.
said I would have come.
No, I left. I couldn't do it. I could not sit and watch that embarrassment of football. That is worse. I arguably, and if anyone wants to debate me, that looked worse than when we had Urban Meyer's coach. Because at least with Urban Meyer, it was funny to watch. But this is bad. This is a Super Bowl winning head coach running your team. And to me, and I'm kind of starting to get the feeling that this coach, Doug Peterson, is just an average coach who got lucky winning a Super Bowl. You know who that reminds me of? The former Green Bay coach who is now the Dallas Cowboys coach, Mike McCarthy.
Let
He
me read
caught
you
like
that real quick. There's an SI article that came out last night that kind of sums that up here.
Oh, I didn't actually see that article, so that's actually news to
You
me.
said the right name. Hang on, let me pull it up. A move like this is painfully ticked for the NFL ownership circle. When billionaires are blessed with generationally talented players, I'm throwing up air quotes for that. They often panic and hire someone who has, quote, been to the mountaintop. The Cowboys did this with Mike McCarthy, like you said, won a Super Bowl with Green Bay. The Broncos are in the midst of doing this right now with Sean Payton, who won a Super Bowl with the Saints. Of course, it fails to recognize that the coach made it to the mountaintop at a certain place and time, in parentheses, and most of the time with the help of a generational quarterback. It's like a failing record label hiring the Bee Gees to revamp its music division in 2024. Disco was great when disco was great. It could be great again. It's not really all that great right now. So funny you bring that up because that sums it up perfectly. You bring in a coach that, yes, he won a Super Bowl in a very non-traditional sense, and he was out of the league. He wasn't coaching. And you bring him back in, and we sat here and thought the first season, oh yeah, this guy's got all the answers. He's been, honing down, perfecting everything in the time he's been away. And we have a good season. The next season, we have all this hype. We regress slightly, but we make some offseason moves that look great. You bring in some new offensive line guys. You bring in some different receivers. You bring in all this stuff, and you're like, oh, we drafted the defensive line, and everyone fucking sucks.
You said it right there. Everyone fucking sucks. Simple as that. This
The
fall,
only
this.
good person on our team is our punter.
And our kicker, Cam Little, but that's it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he is.
I mean, he did the best. He had one opportunity. He kicked it and he got the points for us.
Yeah,
But
4 points,
this
baby.
goes back to why my background is the way it is, why my name is hashtag clown show. This team is a clown show. There will be changes happening this year, one way or another, whether that's Doug Peterson being fired. I actually was a little disappointed not to see him getting fired today. I believe that Trent Baalke will be fired at the end of the year. Clearly, they're not doing anything now. And Shad, apparently, and I'm going to pull up the Demetrius Harvey tweet that he tweeted about how someone close to him was, I guess, friends with Shad or whatever. I don't know. Let me put say this exact tweet. I don't want to
Oh, I know
misquote.
what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to misquote Demetrius in his tweet. So he tweeted, someone close to hashtag Jaguars owner Shad Khan to me tonight says this, quote, angrier than I have ever seen Shad. He is usually a reserved, kind gentleman. Not tonight, end quote. That is the sixth worst loss in franchise history that we had last night. Sixth.
You
You're
know what,
talking like
Rick?
we've been blown out 53 to nothing, 53-10, whatever. We've been blown out before. But this, you have all that money spent. Trevor Lawrence, Josh Hines-Allen, Eric Armstead, Tyson Campbell. Like, you've got player. Oh, Christian Kirk, Gabe Davis, Evan Ingram, Cam Robinson, Mitch Morse. Like, these players are, they're paid. They're paid. And just a complete dumpster fire. So, personally, I felt so dejected yesterday, and I felt pissed off this morning. And I was disappointed to see how 145 Doug Peterson was addressing the media. I thought he would be fired, but clearly not. So what really pisses me off is we are about to go into a short week against the Texans, who are probably pissed off from last week. So when they lost to Minnesota. But I just think this, in a microcosm of the season so far, is the fact that the plane could not take off last night and
Yeah.
mechanical issues. I wish they stayed in Buffalo for the night so they can just sit in that disgusting state of mind they were probably in.
Wallow in their sorrows. Yeah. I will say this to what you said about Shad Khan. He can be pissed off all he wants. Actions speak louder than words. We're gonna sit here and watch him coach the rest of the season. We're gonna go 2-15 and just sit here and just be pissed off, but he's not going to make any changes. He never makes any changes in time.
So I don't think he will do that. I think he's gonna, if they lose next week to Houston, it's done
That was actually
going
going to be my
forward.
next question. You think after Houston,
I
if
think if we lose to Houston, if we get embarrassed on the road, I think the season, the career of Doug Peterson in Jacksonville and Trent Baalke are over with. They're done. They cannot afford to go 0-4. And there's a toxic culture going on. And there's been toxic culture since 2021. And who's been in the charge of this? Trent Baalke.
Balky.
There is a problem. There is a problem here in Jacksonville. He's signed, or he's helped sign terrible free agents, drafted terribly. Like, he cannot build a team. There's a reason why he was fired in San Francisco. There's a reason why a lot of coaches that work with him get fired. He needs to go. And you need to start clean, and you need to do it soon in order to have any chance to save Trevor Lawrence's career in Jacksonville, and also this team. Because if they don't, Trevor Lawrence is about to be out of Jacksonville in a few years. Because he's playing like garbage right now.
Do you call Bill Belichick?
I was just looking at a video where that is apparently a rumor that he. I don't know.
I mean,
This just goes
you
back
sit
to what
here,
you
you're
just
the new
said.
GM for the Jags or whatever, or you're Shad Khan, sorry, you're Shad Khan. Are you calling Bill Belichick if you are Shad?
I'd call.
What's the hurt? What would hurt in calling, you know?
So apparently, and I don't know if you saw it, like, so Steven Ruiz, he's a reporter. I forgot which with what site, but he tweeted, or he was on a podcast with what's the guy who left Why am I blanking on his name? Boston guy. He went from ESPN to.
I don't remember. Just
God, why am I
it's
blanking on his
okay.
name? No, it's actually like I'm gonna feel so stupid. But whatever. He said that Atlanta is a high, like the Atlanta turned him, or he was afraid of Atlanta was afraid of him because he didn't want to take over. Like he didn't want him to run the whole thing. But Shaw isn't hands-off owner, so I don't see why not. Like let Bill take this for a few years and go. Like I don't want to touch this. So I don't know. I would give Bill Belichick a call though, to answer your question, yes.
I've already seen people posting the draft order. It's a sad state of mind that we all are in.
Oh, we're in
It's,
draft talk mode. We're in draft talk
yeah,
mode now.
it's really, really depressing. Let's trying to end on something positive in the football world. You got a game ball of the week? Because I can pull one up if you got one.
Game ball of the week is someone who helped me win my fantasy matchup against my little brother, Juwan Jennings. Let me pull up his stat line real quick. I know he had three touchdowns, 100
11
and
receptions, 175 yards, and three touchdowns.
yeah, he absolutely took off this week.
Well, that's funny because mine was also a receiver, but he lost. Mine was Ja'Marr Chase with six receptions for 118 and two touchdowns in the better Monday Night Football game that they decided, man, we got to go side by side because this Jags game is so bad. Oh, man.
Oh, I'm
I
so
truly.
stupid. The Boston guy that I was referring to, the Boston guy I was referring to, Bill Simmons. I'm an idiot.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, I didn't realize it was that
Yeah, that's why I was like, let me just do that again. Yeah, let me clarify. It was Bill Simmons. I was having a moment there.
Oh, goodness. Well, I hope next week we'll be sitting here talking about how the Texans are idiots and somehow lost the game because of something stupid. But I have a sneaky suspicion that that will not be the case. At least we're not in prime time.
Oh, by the way, can we talk about how maybe the NFL was right by not putting the Jaguars ever on prime time in the last decade? Because good Lord, that was atrocious, and I don't want to watch that again.
Yeah, it's something I saw tweeted up many times last night saying, you guys asked for this and here's the product. They're just not good under the lights. I don't know what it is, and it's just Jaguar. Jags are gonna jag, It's just depressing. But you know what isn't depressing, Mike?
What is that?
Nerdy Nuts peanut butter. Let's do a little ad read here before we get out of the way. Millionaire Peanut Butter is their latest release. Again, as we say every episode, these new flavors drop every Sunday at 7 p.m. They go fast, so you should order them ASAP. They do a refresh in the middle of the week, but get them early and use that promo code DIMES10 to get 10% off your order. It'll help us too, because we like having them as a sponsor. So, Millionaire Bar Peanut Butter Treat, Cotton Candy, Cream Cashew Butter. It's a weird sounding one. Toasted marshmallow peanut butter. That sounds fantastic. Coconut cream pie, carrot cake, bananas Foster cheesecake, cookie heaven, pumpkin cheesecake, shoo fly pie, French silk pie, and banana milkshake cashew butter. Those are the new releases this week. They do have other ones that are available. Some of the ones I mentioned last week are still on their website that you can buy. And of course, some of their best sellers are always rotated in, like the Monster Cookie Peanut Butter, which is my absolute favorite. It's just like M&M's essentially, but it's just so good. It just works so well with a butterscotch flavored peanut butter. So get your Nerdy Nuts 10% off using code DIMES10. And get you some delicious treats to enjoy before the storm hits. I don't think we're getting hit directly.
Well, we might get some rain, but I doubt anything more than that.
Keep your thoughts for Tallahassee as they're still recovering from that last storm. And I'm afraid for some of our branches out there for my real job that they might get flooded again. Hopefully they've got the sandbags coming in. Anything else you'd like to add before we dip out of here, Mike?
Yeah, one thing. I think that we have a Sunday night game later this year. We are 100% getting flexed out of that game against the Eagles. So I just looked at the schedule that weekend. The likely replacement just from now, just 3 weeks, Lions Packers will probably move to Sunday night and we'll be going to 1 o'clock. So I'm just telling you from now on September 24th, we're getting flexed out. Just there's no way they're keeping us on Sunday night football. No way.
And we end on
So
that depressing note. I
yeah.
love it. I
To
love
be
it. I love
fair,
it. I love it.
it kind of encapsulates the whole weekend, mainly for the Jaguars. Because Jaguars really ruined the whole weekend for us.
Jags ruin a lot of weekends for me lately, and that's just the way it is, unfortunately. You know what? I'll end it on this positive note. This is going back to Florida State. They recorded 28 QB pressures, 7 sacks, and 12 tackles for loss in that win. That is some beautiful numbers that I like to hear. Go Noles. This is Dimes on Duval presented by Nerdy Nuts. He's Mike Yazdi. I'm Keith Manzi. We're signing out, and we will catch you on the next one.
Fire everyone.